Hello and welcome. I'm Patrick Campbell, Senior Editor with Practical Cardiology, and in this episode of Practical Cardiology, you'll hear from Dr. Kausik Ray as we discuss the newest inclisiran data and pooled Orion analyses presented at ESC Congress 2020. During our conversation, Dr. Ray and I discuss a pair of analyses presented at the annual conference, and we also discuss the ongoing reviews of applications for the agent at the FDA and EMA. Without further ado, here is my conversation with Dr. Ray. I guess first things first, let's talk about some of this new inclisiran data from the Orion program presented at ESC.
Yeah, so I think there were three pooled analyses that we showed. One of those was in a population who were statin intolerant. In each individual's trials, that there were the aim was to have people on maximum tolerated statins, and the vast majority of people in each trial were on statins. But in each of them, there were a few that didn't, because they were intolerant, didn't receive statins, for example. And so by pooling them, we've got sufficient numbers to look at that. So for example, when we look at the population who are statin intolerant, you might look at the percentage reduction, for example, and you could crudely look at that and you might say, well, it looks like it might be a little bit less effective in percentage terms. And that's actually not the case, because people who are statin intolerant will have a higher starting level of LDL cholesterol. And what you'll find is that you get a bigger absolute benefit in terms of LDL reduction, because you start a little bit higher. So even if you see a modest 5% difference in efficacy in percentage terms, when you apply it to the population you would be treating, you see a bigger absolute reduction. So in people with statin intolerance, for example, and you'll have to multiply by 38, these were for a European audience, you get about a 1.7 millimol reduction in LDL cholesterol, compared to about a 1.3 millimol in people who were taking statins. So, you know, from a risk perspective, that's almost an 11% lowering of risk in a statin intolerant patient population compared to what you'd be seeing in a population on maximum tolerated statins. So I think that was important to clarify, because with small numbers, people can sometimes say, well, it looks like it's a little bit less effective. It's actually not less effective when you actually look at what determines risk and benefit. So that was the first one. And we showed also, importantly, that when you study a population with statin intolerance, that the drug was just as safe in that patient population as we'd observed in the overall population. And the reason that is so important is that often statin intolerant patients, whether it's real biological basis or otherwise, they often don't do very well with new medications. So showing that you have a safety profile that is virtually identical to placebo in that patient population was really important. So that was one of the three abstracts that we presented, or posters that we presented.
That. And now let's talk about the study examining baseline triglycerides and non-HDLC in the pooled analyses of the Orion 10 and Orion 11 trials.
Okay, so the background to that is that we know in a world of increasing obesity and more people with diabetes, that one of the issues that you have is that there are a number of particles that contain cholesterol. Now, so LDL contains mostly cholesterol and very little in the way of triglyceride. There are additional lipoproteins that are very common in people with obesity and diabetes, and they contain triglycerides. So we call those triglyceride-rich lipoproteins. They also happen to contain cholesterol. So when your triglyceride levels are high, your total cholesterol content, if you like, in bad particles, in non-HDL, your total cholesterol content, which is non-HDL, is much higher. So in most people who are lean, who don't have elevated triglycerides, who are not diabetic, non-HDL and LDL cholesterol are very close together. But in these other people, you can see, for example, that they have a lot more cholesterol in these additional ApoB-containing lipoproteins. And why is it important? Well, it basically is important because in people who have high triglycerides, LDL underestimates risk. So your real target for treatment should be non-HDL and ApoB-containing lipoprotein or ApoB. And we know, for example, the higher your triglyceride is, the less likely you are to achieve non-HDL and ApoB goals. So what we did was we pooled people with established cardiovascular disease, and we said we will look at the treatment effect by baseline fifths of triglyceride at baseline. And what you found was that at baseline, the higher your triglyceride, so let's say above 190, the greater your total cholesterol content, non-HDL, the more bad particles you had, ApoB. But LDL didn't really change very much. So your triglyceride is a marker of all of these additional lipoproteins, all these additional parameters. And what we then did is that we looked at the placebo-treated group and the inclisiran-treated group, and we followed those people through to the end of study. And we said, if your baseline was a high triglyceride, how effectively did you achieve your goals for level of risk? And was there a relationship? So with your baseline triglyceride and these goal attainment. And the higher your triglyceride in placebo, the less likely you were to achieve goals. So for example, if you look at the people who started with the lowest triglyceride levels, about 43% achieved their non-HDL goals. Now that number drops markedly down to about 12% in people with triglycerides above 190, so high levels. So you've gone from 43% down to 12%. In contrast, inclisiran, which we know lowers LDL, but actually the LDL receptor also clears these other particles as well. So now those same comparator groups, the low triglyceride groups, you achieved goals in 88%. And even when triglycerides were really high, the highest, you achieved them in 75%. So now you've taken away, if you like, the influence of triglyceride on goal achievement. And that's really important because in many parts of the world, people are moving away from using LDL to non-HDL to using ApoB, which captures all of the bad particles, all of the bad cholesterol. So that's why that analysis is very important, because what are your options otherwise for people with high triglycerides? One option could be Vascepa, but that's only one trial. And there is some controversy around the placebo control used in the REDUCE-IT trial, for example, and we'll wait for the results of the STRENGTH trial. So if you've got uncertainty about what to do in this patient population, one approach might be to lower triglycerides per se. Another approach is let's just clear the particles that contain the triglycerides, which is what inclisiran does. So that's why it was so important. And again, there was no real difference in safety, very much like in the overall program across the five groups of triglycerides. So that's really why that is so important.
And now, while these agents are still under review by the respective regulatory bodies, do you think that based on the Orion program, there's enough data for clinicians to feel comfortable prescribing this agent to their patients?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the first thing to say is that those studies that we did and that were published in the New England Journal are some of the largest to be done. And you know, we have over 3,500 people, 18 months of follow-up. We have in parallel, which we haven't presented yet, an open label program with data monitoring committees, etc. And data monitoring committees and sponsors publicly have to inform you if there's any issues. That hasn't happened. So you can assume, you know, you show that there hasn't been any kind of issue or safety signal that has been seen. And we have Orion 3. This was the study that I published 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 2017 now. And these are people that have now been followed up for over 3 years. They went into an open label program, about 500 people. And so whatever safety that we saw, and the only difference that we see is injection site adverse events, which are transient, which are mild. We haven't seen anything extra with that extended follow-up. And so it provides a huge amount of assurance. And I'd remind you that every drug for LDL lowering gets a license first on LDL lowering because we believe in causality. We know that's validated irrespective of mechanism. And you just have to provide enough safety data and in parallel show that there is an ongoing trial which will get you your label for cardiovascular event reduction in due course. And that's ongoing, as you know, the Orion 4 trial. And we already, in the pool data that I, you know, presented and that my colleague Scott Wright presented at the ACC, there was already, you know, a strong trend towards lower events. Now, you could say, well, you didn't show significant. Well, if that was, those were the trials we needed to do, we wouldn't be doing the 15,000 person study, right? So the reason for doing those trials is that, do you see a signal? Do you see enough of a directional benefit to say, yeah, we're on the right track? And that's exactly what you see for the amount of lowering that you get, for how long we followed those people up, we're exactly on track. And I, you know, and I really hazard a guess that what I would say is, in comparison to any other drug ever tested, and if we do this study for long enough, with a long enough period of time, we will potentially see a bigger treatment effect than we might have expected for the same difference in LDL cholesterol. And the reason is that our patients, remember these people, a lot of these people will be taking background statin therapy, right? And we know that they don't always take them properly. So you get variability. If I'm looking at 5 years, my patient's doing this. And if I flatten that in the inclisiran treated group and the other group are doing that, then actually instead of on a given date measuring the difference, if I'm looking at the average over 5 years, it's probably going to be a bit more, right? So we may, I mean, let's see what the data could be completely wrong. That's what we've seen from real world patient populations. The people that do this have less average reduction over a long time horizon. And that I think is going to be great because we've talked a lot about the importance of adherence and overcoming non-adherence and convenience, for example. So, you know, I think it's really exciting. I mean, I can give you anecdotes where I've got patients that, you know, you're offering them drugs and you can work out which drugs they are. And I've spent a lot of time getting them approvals, let's say, and, you know, but which are every 2 weeks. And they've read the newspapers. I'll wait for the one that's twice a year. So from a patient perspective, we've never had that level of choice before.
This segues nicely into my last question. From a patient perspective, it's really sort of something people that are already on maximally tolerated statin therapies are usually having trouble controlling or managing their disease. This is an injection that's not very often. What kind of relief does this provide to patients?
Well, I think it's this thing of look at where we are with COVID. Look at just the environment and the world we're in. I'm having to do face-to-face consultations for many of my patients. Now, it's less than ideal. You don't get the chance to build up, you know, the relationships, et cetera. So we're going to have to reimagine medicine. We're going to have to think about different ways. Once you've identified the patient that needs further reduction of LDL cholesterol. It actually doesn't matter how you lower it. So it then will come down to cost, patient preference, availability, all of those things, you know, that joint shared approach. But in particular, if you are young, then a lot of these people, yes, they don't understand because it's a silent, you know, high cardiovascular risk is a silent variable, right? You don't walk around, get up and go jogging and think, I'm at high cardiovascular risk. You feel fine and they're all your numbers all over the place. So convenience is a huge factor for our patients. And I think for, you know, the importance of having assured coverage, you know, this annualized, you are covered for a low LDL cholesterol. It's like buying insurance. If I buy the insurance once a year, I know I'm covered, right? So unless I forget to renew. So it's exactly the same thing, right? So if you turn up for your two shots a year, you are covered for about 50% over that year. And the beauty of this is, even if I'm a month late because, you know, I'm on holiday or whatever, the return towards baseline isn't like if I'd forgotten my refill of statins or I'd forgotten my refill of ezetimibe or a MAB. I don't return back to zero. It's about 4% a month return towards baseline. I haven't changed very much. That's why this is a game changer.
Yeah, I guess at that point, then it will become part of the constant struggle of getting people to show up every 6 months for that appointment.
Well, I think you can do it in multiple ways. I think there are huge advantages to having that 6 month consult. It's an opportunity, but you know, it gives you an opportunity for redesigning your pathway. So if I've done most of the basics and I've done all the tweaking up front, do I really need to see my patient every 6 months? They could see the nurse. They could go to CVS and get the shot there. You know, if you basically have your mall and you have, you know, when you get your parking ticket stamped on the way out and use your phone. I mean, we've got technology. So if you basically could get that. So we need to reimagine the process. That's what this technology enables us to do. And it's not just LDL, because the same approach is going to be used for a number of other lipids and other variables.
That's it for this episode of Practical Cardiology. Thank you for listening.